أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقي ونور عرشي أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. الله سبحانه وتعالى in his blessed book the Holy Quran tells us والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. Yesterday I also recited a verse which I'd like to connect these two, obviously. Yesterday from Surah Ibrahim, the gist is لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, which basically means, the second verse that I'm reciting, in essence means that if you are thankful, if you are grateful, and Allah is saying to us that your Lord has covenanted with you, He has warned you, that when you are grateful, He will give you more. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. And if you are ungrateful, then you will be punished with a severe punishment. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And the second verse which I'm reciting, which is from Surah Ankabut, the last verse, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Indeed, Allah guides those who struggle. He gives them guidance when they struggle. And indeed, Allah is with those who do good. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Muhsinin is one who does good. So the objective in all these lectures that we start with, in the name of Allah, we mention the importance of Islam as a general rule. We try to promote goodness with each other, because the objective of Islam, inna dina, inna Allahil Islam, al-Islam, is that which Allah has said, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas, ta'muruna bil-ma'roof, wa tanhawna anil-munkar, wa tu'minuna billah. You are the best in the community when you promote good, you forbid evil, and you believe in God. My message in all these nights, and I know tonight is my last night here in this wonderful establishment at Al Huda Center, and I feel a part of this community. I look at all of you, I'm very encouraged at all times. As I mentioned in my first night when I first came, where I drew the analogy of churches filling up on Christmas Eve, I don't want us to end up like those other religions. And you might say, well, this is Islam. This is the true religion. Let's face it, brothers and sisters. Islam is for all of mankind. It's not only for you and me. Islam is a rahmah. When the Prophet came, Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We didn't send you, but as a mercy for all. عَالَمِينَ. So how can we limit ourselves? And let's not fall into those cracks where our religion becomes a cycle for one time in a year, and then we disappear. What encouraged me the most, honestly, and I am not passing any judgment, believe me, I don't claim to be a Muslim who practices Islam every hour, every second. We are all in need of guidance. We are all in need of help. We are all in need of encouragement. We are all in need of certainty and greater knowledge, greater understanding, greater forbearance, etc., etc. But I am very encouraged that the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is so powerful that, it, as I mentioned the other time, it's not the event in terms of the series of events that really captures my heart. It is the purity, the sincerity, the firmness of promoting good and forbidding evil and believing in Allah that sits the firmest in my heart, which is why I will never leave the love of Ahlul Bayt. Never. The reason I love Ahlul Bayt, if anybody wants to know, because we are all, after all, caught in our own religions because our fathers gave it to us. That's the general state of the human race. And that, therefore, that is the general accusation in the human race, that we have established our religion on the basis of what our fathers have given us. And as rightful as it is, and I know your brother has a question, he's raised his hand, I can give you an option to ask that, but let me finish my point. That the religion that we have in the love of Ahlul Bayt, if someone was to ask you, why do you love this Ahlul Bayt? Really, at the fundamental level, the reason we love them so much, first and foremost, is because Allah has appointed them. If I believe in God, and since I believe in God, and the necessity for me to believe in God comes from my heart, that from nothing comes nothing, and there is just too much good in this world. Though I see a lot of evil in this world, but I have understood the nature of evil, and I understand its position, which enables actually to be a springboard for greater good, then I don't see it as negative as some others see it. I see it as a means by which Allah has placed it, such that if I was to go towards it, I will harm myself. But if I avoid it, I will elevate myself. That's the difference. But if that was not there, how could I elevate myself? How could I elevate myself towards the greater good if evil did not exist? We love Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and as much hurt and as much pain as we have in our hearts for what the Bani Umayyah did, and all those who rejected the commandments of Allah, which has brought about the carnage that's taking place even in today in Gaza, for example. And many of us are probably asking, why is God allowing such tyrannical movements to succeed with such power where they can pound a nation and bring buildings down and crush innocent children? We ask those questions. We must not forget that life to begin with was a gift from Allah, that you and I did nothing to deserve it. And as much as you and I may question the integrity of preserving life, which is our natural duty to do so, Allah says, what did you do to deserve it? And since you love it so much and therefore you question its loss, then preserve it when you are given the authority to do so. And don't harm a single human being, for that is your obligation. One. Number two, a merciful God creates us from nothing when we have done nothing to deserve it. You think this merciful God that we worship is going to take this life away and make it vanish into thin air without justice and giving it what it was deserving? You think a child is going to be born and is going to die in the womb of its mother, such that when it's taken, the mother complains? Little do they realize that when it was given, there was nothing the mother did to deserve it. And then when we submit to Allah and we pray to Allah and we say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, that we give you this gratitude and we praise you, Allah says, you think I will take that baby in the womb that I took away from you and I will destroy it? And do you think I will punish it? And do you think I will hurt it? Look at your body. You know how much bacteria is attacking you right now, Allah is saying to me? Do you know how many carcinogens are attacking your body now as you live? Have you even thought how your red blood cells work? Have you thought of how your white blood cells work? Did you wake up and program it some morning? Or when your baby starts to speak the first syllables, did the mother turn the switch on in the baby so that the baby could speak? No. Allah says, I yusawwirukum fil arhami kayfa yasha. I am the one who shapes in the womb of these mothers the way I will. And then this child is endowed with this ability to speak and to be protected without even thinking, such that if the child even decides to stop breathing because his father is not buying him an Xbox, Allah has built a system that he falls asleep so that the breathing takes over automatically. Allah says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. How little you are grateful. وَالَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. We give you existence. أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. When we are ungrateful as such, things happen as such. But Allah is indeed putting us under a trial. That struggle with yourselves. Understand the value of who you are. And that this loss that is happening around, Allah says, we are testing you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. What a verse. Allah says, we will test you with loss, fear, death, loss of your family and fruits. But the best one is the patient one. Where does patience come from? It comes from this understanding of the rahmah of Allah. The gratitude, la in shakartum la azidannakum. It comes with an understanding that this merciful God created me not for foolishness. Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan. Subhanaka faqina adhab an-nar. You didn't create this in vain. It's got value. So to make my point that we love Ahlul Bayt because they're the emblems, the representatives that Allah has chosen out of His infinite mercy, in that their characteristics are of haqq, which I spoke about yesterday, which means they take us to the true reality of who you and I should be. And when you and I become that, then we are the ones who will reap its happiness, not Allah. Allah says, He says, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. When you are grateful, you are grateful for yourselves. Wa in asa'tum falaha. And when you are not, God is furthest, He doesn't affect Him. This gratefulness and gratitude is the engine, the fuel of a believer. When we talk about the Shahada of Karbala, in Karbala, and we see Imam Hussein alayhi salam being massacred with his family, not a word out of his mouth comes where he complains to Allah. Ridham bi qada wa tasliman li amri. We are satisfied by that which you have decreed. We ask, what decree is this that such a massacre should take place? This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we will test you. How? But you will notice that giving these enemies the chance, like what's happening today, observe from history, brothers and sisters. Let me give you a very modern example. These are lessons. Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These are signs for a community that thinks. Our good old President George W. You noticed 8 years ago when he came into power, I observed his character. And I'm not passing judgment against individuals. I want us to take a lesson in an attitude of a group of people. In the name of God, they think they're going to save mankind. And you know, when people who don't believe in God say that religion has caused a lot of harm, in part I agree with them. Not that religion has caused harm, but those who have pretended to take religion in their hands, which I spoke about a few nights ago. And let us as Muslims not be like them. Because everybody in the name of God seems to know or figure out a way where they will save mankind, only to cause more destruction. Therefore, I bring my initial premise why I love Ahlul Bayt, because I know that only Allah is the one who can guide me in the right direction, that in my desire to do good, if I don't have good guidance, I will certainly destroy people. Though I may have a good intention to do it, I have become more ignorant and destructive than anything else. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Give me some water, please. George W., when he comes president, you notice the arrogance? Cowboy attitude. My way or the highway. Classic. This is nothing new. Believe me, it's not only George W. Within all communities, within leaders of other Muslim groups, non-Muslim groups, we've got those kinds of cowboys. They think they're tough dudes. And they think they can manipulate. And Allah says, watch. Me, as a Muslim, looking at this guy, I said, why does a guy like this attain such power? He can invade lands in the name of national security, kill a million Iraqis, not even bat an eye, because it's good for them. We want to bring democracy to you. We'll butcher half your country. We want to bring democracy to you. We are such good people. And I'm being critical here, not by that example, but to show that you and I are asking the integrity of such people's authority. And Allah says, I give them that authority. But Allah, you're merciful. How can you allow such people to come into power when such innocent lives are being taken? Well, that's the examination. I cannot answer that further than that. But Allah wants me to take a lesson. That you want to be like that? Try it. This poor man did everything he could. He moved the earth as best as he could. All he did was make it proper for the believers to come forward. Because Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan, God plans. And God's plan is the best of plans. What is this plan that you and I may be asking? It is the plan of promoting good and forbidding evil and believing in Allah. Because no matter how evil a person can be, and as visionary as they may think they have, all they will do is turn themselves upside down. Just like what Fir'aun did. He even asked his people to build him a tower so he could fight with the God of Musa. He plans. Allah says, I plan too. What do you know about it? So let's take it as a lesson that a president is leaving tomorrow. The most hated president. 78% of Americans are happy he's leaving. That's an insult. And if I could go into the heart of Bush, he says, I wish I was never the president. That's an insult. Why? Allah says, look, that's the lesson you take. Whether you are a president of a country, or a leader in a community, or a parent in your family, deal with people with justice and equity. Otherwise, be willing to pay the price, a price you will wish you never got. Don't take advantage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing me that look at such leadership, and look at the leadership of the prophets and Ahlul Bayt. Did they ever push the pendulum too far? Or did they always bring the pendulum in a balanced, equitable way? So when someone says, why do you love Ahlul Bayt? I say, show me a group of people on earth that has ever dealt with society under the most difficult scenarios where they brought equity and justice to humanity. Can you give me examples of such people? You won't find them. You will hear about great kings. And they may have built some schools for people, and they may have built some hospitals for people, but you can never put them on the same scale as the prophets of Allah and the members of Ahlul Bayt. Salawat ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad. Tonight is New Year's Eve. We need to make dua. Now, what is New Year's? Let's be real. Time is a creation of Allah. And it had a start at some point that you and I don't even know. Even time, by the way, had a start. Time is not infinite. It's finite. And we know that time can be segmented. And in the process of segmentation, we can give it a frame of reference. Like Hijrah is a frame of reference. We say first Hijrah, second Hijrah, 10th Hijrah. Karbala took place 61 after Hijrah. Hijrah is what? The Messenger of Allah migrating from Mecca to Medina to escape the clutches of the enemies, which became the starting point of the Islamic calendar. We find the Gregorian calendar began 2009 years roughly. It was started, it's actually a Christian calendar. And it's just a frame of reference. You know the Y2K scenario? People created all types of hype. Year 2000's coming, Armageddon, end of the world. People started going buying groceries and stacking it in their basements because Armageddon was coming, the end of the world. We are being warned in the Quran, beware. The Mahdi shall appear soon. Malakul Maut will meet you anytime. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ. What Malakul Maut? Poor guy died. We pray for him. Yeah, but maybe you're next. No, me never. Me die? No, impossible. You die, not me. Allah says, yeah, we will catch you so quickly you won't have time to change your expression. How's that? It happens. Death is something which is a great gift of Allah. Believe me, if not for death, I think about it a lot. As painful as it is, no doubt, to lose a loved one, to leave this world in a one-way passageway is very painful. Let's agree with that. But the pain should ignite the love of Allah, that this pain is so painful, Allah is asking me, how much did you like it? I said, Allah, I loved it. I loved it so much. Make me eternal. Make me immortal. Don't make me die. Allah says, do you appreciate what I gave you? You love it so much. How come you're so ungrateful? How come every day I ask you to do something for your own good and you bounce around one day for me, one day for shaitan? Why do you balance that? You notice our human race? We all fluctuate. One day towards shaitan, one day towards Allah. We're sort of keeping the balance. We're playing the odds. Whatever happens, at least I've got both sides covered. It doesn't work that way. What happens is our certainty needs to move towards Allah. Now, let's be real, brothers and sisters. It's true that all of us are in a world where we're trying to figure out what is right and what is not right. And I don't blame anybody from fluctuating. We all fluctuate in our iman. Some days we are more spiritual. Some days we are not. Some days we feel like praying. Some days we don't feel like praying. Agreed. I agree. The Messenger of Allah has mentioned that humans will fluctuate in their iman in a biorhythmic cycle. Agreed. But what do you do to save yourself from bottoming out? Because there are some youth who, when they went down so far they could never get up. And they died in it. How do you save yourself? One solution is the remembrance of Allah. وَذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. What is remembrance of Allah? All the time doing tasbih? No. You appreciate the grace of God around you. When you see a beautiful person, you say, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. When you see something, you say, Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Why do we say that? Because it ignites the spirit in a positive direction, which then leads an individual habitually to want to remember Allah, and then the worship, which is salah, becomes natural. Why all of this I'm talking about? Because bottom line is we all have a fitrah for good. As much as you and I may hang out in the wrong places, I have yet to find a person who's hung out in a club, or is drinking, or is doing some kind of hallucinogenic drug. And you say to them, what are you doing? He says, you know, it's wrong. This is bad. I know it's bad, but I'm kind of addicted to it. I said, okay, you agree it's bad. Would you encourage your son to do this? He said, never. I said, that's enough. Now you need to focus on this and get out. Where people never get out, if you ever study psychology, is they're in a state of denial. The guy is a drunkard and a half. He says, I'm not a drunkard. Me? I mean, I drink sometimes. I mean, yeah, I'm drooling on the street, sure. You know, but I'm not overdosing. That's called denial. Psychological denial is a deadly spot. That's why when we study in Islam, which is the guidance that Allah has given in this Quran, we understand this nafs, which has three grades, nafs al-ammara, nafs al-lawama, and nafs al-mutma'inna. You and I must understand this. The machinery of how the human being works is what makes us proactive. Then we don't have to come here and put a carrot outside the door so that the people should be coming to the masajid and come and remember Allah once a year. No. It's a necessity at all times. Not once a year. Not on New Year's Eve.
But alhamdulillah, the grace and mercy of Allah is such that at least there is one day that sticks in the heart of the vast majority of the world, that they make sure they don't go to the clubs that day, and they take their jewelry off, and they take their satanic garb off, and they come and they cry for Imam Hussein, or they go to church and remember Jesus Christ. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And when you ask them why, I'll give you an example. You know, in India, they did an interview on one of the youth, and he's a pickpocket in the streets of Mumbai. He's a lover of Ahlul Bayt, therefore, a Shia. He says, Muharram has started. So the guy's interview says, I don't steal till the 28th of Safar. You know, 28th of Safar is the Shahad of Rasulullah. MashaAllah, that's a lot of days. Alhamdulillah. What does he do, by the way? He takes his shoes off. Walks barefoot. He's got jewels that he stole from people. He takes it off. Takes his wallets, puts it away. And for that period of time, he's going to walk like a servant of Hussein. MashaAllah. Beautiful. Alhamdulillah, there's hope. There is hope. Maybe this guy's a pickpocket because he was trained to be a pickpocket because no one took care of him. Maybe he's an orphan thrown on the streets and he has no other option but to steal. Can we blame them sometimes? It's our irresponsibility sometimes in the social arena that we don't bring harmony and equity in the human race. Thus people indulge in all types of crimes. Looking in America, there's been a rise of bank heists. United States of America, the leader superpower of the world that's going to establish democracy for the rest of the world, is having a rise of bank heists, meaning thieves and robbers are robbing banks like the Wild West. Unbelievable. Why? There's a direct correlation to the economic status of people with relations to crime. So when we see such behavior sometimes, we understand that we as a human race need to be very cognizant and careful in making sure that our social environments are balanced so criminal activities don't take place. When youth go to clubs and nightclubs and they drink and they do haram things, it's not because they have a natural desire for that. It's because something's wrong at the center. And it is so wrong at the center, they moved away from the center. This is why we need to fix our social problems in our communities. We need to balance ourselves. And I don't claim to have the answer, but I'm going to tell you. Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What we have revealed in this Quran is a shifa and a rahmah for the believers. But what is this shifa? Shifa that I shove down sharia and halal and haram on my children? Or is it that I'm a balanced, equitable person who's loving, who promotes good and demotes evil in a balanced way? Am I closed-minded and I condemn everybody? Kuffar, najis, haram, mushrik, kafir. Or do I say no? The world is a grace of Allah. And I don't care if you're white or black. I don't care if you're Christian or atheist. You are under the rahmah of Allah. And since God has gifted me with this understanding, then it's my obligation when Allah says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah." Invite them with wisdom. Are we doing that? If we are losing our own children in our communities, there is a serious problem in this whole commemoration of Imam Hussein, which is wrong. What is wrong here, brothers and sisters, is we haven't understood the message of Imam Hussein. This is why we are lost. Honestly, when I was a child, I used to come to this majalis. I used to sit there and I hear the Maulana speaking to me. I said, why do I need to listen to this man? Why do I need to cry? He's going to come at the end, he's going to make me cry about Karbala. Why? What's so important? Why do I need to follow this ritual? My friends don't do it. Why do I need to do it? One day I sat down, Allah is my witness. This is why I say, make dua. Allah says, "Ad'uni astajib lakum." Ask me. I will answer you. And I looked at my Lord and I said, "My Lord, you put me in this earth. You want me to worship you. I'm lost. I'm confused. And if you don't guide me, don't hold me liable on judgment day." And I was sitting and listening to the shahada of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I remember. It was in a different language. And you know, this is an experiential thing that I'm sharing with you. It doesn't have what we call systematic logic. But Islam and religion and tawakkul, to go towards Allah where you get killed, is beyond the concept of logic. It's so emotional. But it's driven logically. That I was sitting there
And I hear the story of Imam Ali alayhi salam going to the masjid. And in my eyes, I ask myself, who's this man? All my life I've heard of this man. I know him. I haven't met him. Why is he important to me? And something in my heart said, do you love good? I said, I have to love good. I want good. Do you love beauty? Of course. I don't want anything ugly. I want to be beautiful. I want everything around me beautiful. I don't like ugliness. Do you love honesty? I love it. And I see the vision of this man going to the masjid. And it had completely changed my vision. Not because I had this lightning that struck my head and suddenly I saw a vision. It was all the stories that I had heard that I hadn't processed. It was a ritual. And it appeared that as the imam went into the masjid, I said, where is he going? He's going to worship his Lord. And he knows that his death has come. And the alim said that every morning this same man used to wake up and say, is my beard going to be drenched with this today? And I used to say, what kind of idea is this? And the imam is saying to me, he says, I am the embodiment of haqq. And you don't understand. You will not understand me until you remember me well. And as the imam went to the masjid, and as I heard the story of that sword striking him, and he says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah, there was a lightning that came in my eyes, and the whole truth came in front of me. He says, this is why the imams are important to you. Live and die. They didn't come as characters for you. They came for you to live under their standards of justice, equity, truth, humility, kindness. Subhanallah. That day touched my life so much that I conclude tonight, Karbala, same thing. From that day onwards, no story of this tragedy has ever left me without my heart crying. It hasn't cried for the sake of being defeated. I wake up every morning and I say, one more day, I have a chance to be like that imam. That I will rise and I will fight my nafs and I will go through that self-accusation, nafs al-lawama, that maybe someday Allah will give me nafs al-mutma'inna, that nafs which is at rest, because that's what my life is about, and that's why the shahada of Karbala, in Karbala is so important to me. Brothers, I'm touching your hearts and sisters tonight, my last night here, and I want to see our community grow. I want to see us take this deen, which is the greatest gift given to man. I want us to share it to our community. You know, yesterday we had the honor of meeting a brother who's a non-Muslim. We started talking to him, and as I'm talking to him, I see his heart is vibrating towards Allah. And I said, there are millions like these people waiting to hear what we have to say. And we have been so guided with this great deen called Islam. We've been so guided with this deen through practical examples of our imma and prophets that we are not doing a good service. And hence our children are being found in clubs and nightclubs, and illegitimate children are being born every day because of our ignorance. So I'm concluding tonight that our message should be to be grateful, to be thankful. Because if you and I ever want to have an engine to move forward and be magnetic and bring the world toward us, we should be grateful. If we are so grateful, like Imam Ali alayhi salam was so grateful that when he is struck, he says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah. He didn't complain. He said, I have succeeded by the Lord of the Kaaba. Wow, that strikes my heart every day. He is the prince of believers. I am not even worthy of being the sole of his shoe. Yet my Lord has blessed me too. He has gifted me tremendously, like you. And we are losers in many ways when we calculate. But you know, bottom line, as many people that are violating the Sharia, we should help them to not violate. The rahmah of Allah is still, when Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Say to those who've gone astray, don't lose hope. وصارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. Hasten to forgiveness. Run. Your Lord's door is always open. Come. Being thankful is an attitude, is a gratitude. And then our character becomes humble. Yesterday, a little boy bumped into one brother. And this boy had a bad character. He bumped, didn't even say sorry. He didn't even say sorry. He walked around, picked up a cookie, ate half of it, threw it back, walked away. The brother looked at him and said, who is this child? You might say it's a child. We are the makers of our generation. Then after a while, an older man came and bumped into this brother. Didn't even say sorry. Didn't even apologize. Now maybe he forgot. But there's an attitude here. Bumped him. Brother said, no problem. Then the same old man called his little son, the same one who was bumping the other kids. So then he said, now I see why. Our children are a product of our parents. Now I look back and I say, why is the father so reckless? Deep down, I think probably he's ungrateful. And he's so angry with God, probably angry with life, and angry with the world, and angry with everything God has given him, that he has no time to apologize. This leads to all types of social problems. Our imams, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, was riding a horse, and a man comes and holds his horse and says, you are this and you are that. Why? Because the machinery of Banu Umayyah was already beginning to enter the hearts of people. This machinery, the media today, same brothers, same. Today Muslims are disliked in the world, right? The machinery of the Umayyad Empire was the same. When I look at Ahlul Bayt today, I don't find a single weakness in them. I find nothing but strength in them. I find nothing but beauty and grace. And Allah is blessing them with enormous blessings. How could they ever be vilified by the same people who call themselves Muslims? That Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is entering Damascus. These people are cursing them. How is it possible that yesterday the messenger just left and the family of the Prophet, when the Prophet said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَةِ, how is it the same people are hated? Media, the power of media, brothers and sisters. Media makes monsters out of people. Even the great people are made into monsters. So you and I ask, how do we fight that? Well, let's take a lesson from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How do you fight it? By core values, by instructions at the ground level, where you deal with people with equity and justice, and let the world decide who's wrong and who's right. Yesterday I mentioned how Hur was so touched by Imam's behavior, that he's in an army that he can get a lot of power if he kills Imam Hussein. He chooses the other side. That's the power of magnetism. Imam Hussein's horse is held. Imam is looking at this man. He's angry. Imam gets off the horse. You would think that he's now going to have an argument with him. Imam comes and says, you look tired. You look exhausted. You look depressed. Come home. Let's have lunch together. Rest. Then we will talk. Do you and I have the guts to do that? I always ask this to myself. Do we have the guts of that kind of character? A character like that doesn't come overnight. It comes with dhikr of Allah. Why is Allah important? Because He guides you in this behavior. Allah, for me, is important for this reason. Not for me to stand on podiums and say to the Christians, you are damned and doomed. And to say to the atheists, you are damned and doomed. And we Muslims are right and we're going to heaven and you're going to hell. This is not what Allah has sent Islam to me for. Allah sent Islam to me to teach and guide mankind, to bring justice and equity and goodness to the humanity. How did I know that? I see our imams behaving that way. Not at a level where we are reckless in our own communities, which breeds all types of discord and disharmony. Then a child doesn't want to come to the masjid because there is no equity, harmony. There is no joy. There is no pleasure.
Pleasure, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, is not in playing games or watching movies or sitting around the opposite gender. That's not pleasure. True pleasure is when you sit heart to heart, where you love a brother so much that you want to be with this brother till the day of judgment, even after the day of judgment. That's why Allah says in the Quran, who's the one who's nafs al-mutma'inna? He says, "Qul." What do I say? Ya ayyatu an-nafs al-mutma'inna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. This, of course, we know every shuhada, including Imam Ali alayhi salam. Allah is talking to them, says, Ya ibadillah, come back. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Fadkhuli fi ibadi. Wadkhuli jannati. What does the Quran say? Look, it says, O you whose soul is at rest. Rest meaning what? You have done jihad. What jihad? Kill the enemies? No. Killed yourself as an enemy. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the worst enemy a human being has is his own self. Kill it. What do you mean kill it? Kill the bad one. Promote the good one. Jihad al-Akbar. You and I can do that? Allah will say to us when we die, Ya ayyatun nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i. Come back. But what's so beautiful in this verse is you find that the end of this verse states, come, enter among the worshippers. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Therefore, enter the paradise. Paradise in the Quran, therefore, is not the primary objective. The primary objective is to be among worshippers, because it is the worshippers that gives value to a place in paradise. Though there are many levels of paradise, the highest level is to be in paradise among the prophets, because they are the best of worshippers. To be among the imams, because they are the best worshippers. So you and I, if Allah gives us that ability, that if we follow their pathway, perchance Allah will put us with them. For entering paradise is a secondary matter. Primary matter is to say, who is my companion in paradise? Wow, deep. So let's go to Karbala and I conclude tonight. But my message once again tonight, being the night of New Year's, as much as it's a reference point, it's a reason for us to make dua. We need dua. Dua to ask Allah to protect us, to make our plans successful. He has planned it. Look at the world. Presidents who came like George W. is gone. Is going. No one wants to talk to him. Saddam came. He killed. He butchered. He's gone. Allah says, قُلْ سِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْذُرْ. See, the Fir'aun came. He's gone. You decide, what do you want? There is no argument on Judgment Day that if you think my few dollars is going to make people submit to me, Allah says, your dollars are nothing. I have made kings of kings stand in front of you, and you have questioned why they are there. Allah says, I wanted to show you that for me to drop them, I needed them to go up. They say, the higher you are, the harder you fall. But while they're becoming higher, Allah says, be patient. Oh Allah, why are you letting him do that? Be patient. I want you to see. If this is not a lesson, we'll give you another one. Be patient. So when the carnage is taking place by those people who claim to be powerful today, Allah says, be patient. We will wipe them out like we wiped out the tribe of Thamud. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَصَوَّعَ وَلَا يَخَافُ أُقْبَعَ. I don't care who it is, in what land it is. If any human being is unjust and kills people unfairly, Allah wipes them out and destroys them. Allah says, be patient and don't be among them. This takes us to this essence of what I've just discussed finally in Karbala. That Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he reaches Karbala, he has 1,000 people with him. 1,000 at least. And when the situation gets worse, as the night of Ashura gets closer and closer, people realize this is definitely going to be a battle. This is going to be a war that's going to be a one-way battle. It's going to be a massacre. And that requirement of checking the integrity of who you are puts you in the most unusual state. I don't have time to speak about it tonight. I'll probably speak about it in my other lectures. But people of all ages in Karbala, the ones who remained, we say there were 72 who remained. Actually, there were more than 72. There were at least 100. But we know 72 were warriors, ones who had fought before, ones who were cavalrymen, infantrymen, those who had actually sat on horses and fought, and those who were on foot, foot soldiers. There were about 72 who were definitely there. The rest were children, women, those who had never fought, those who had never held a sword before. And you find among those 72, there was one man who was an old man known as Muslim ibn Awsajah. Tonight, I dedicate this night to him. We can dedicate a night to any one of these. What's amazing in Karbala, Muslim ibn Awsajah was among the oldest of the old in this group. And as we know, Ali Akbar and Ali Asghar, for example, Ali Asghar, also known as Abdullah, the son of Imam Hussein, was the youngest child who was finally sacrificed. So Karbala has left me with no stone unturned. It says, whatever age range you are, pick it up. There is a lesson for you. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is showing me that my fight against this media machinery of the Bani Umayyah will come through grassroots. And if I am cornered, I will rise. And give me the same statement as we hear, that we say, is give me liberty, give me death. You find, subhanAllah, the example, even Mahatma Gandhi understood it. He says, that is what we need. You find Muslim ibn Awsajah meets Imam Hussein on the way. And Zuballah, I think, is where he meets him in the desert. And he joins Imam Hussein. Imam says to him, you're an old man, O Muslim. Muslim, by the way, was a hafiz of Quran. He had actually memorized the whole Quran. Muslim was a hafiz of Quran. Imam says, you're an old man, go home. He says, never. I will never leave you, O Imam, for you are that gift from God, and I will die for you. Why? Because Allah loves, in Allah, lama'al muhsinin. Allah loves the good doers. And Muslim had realized, what is death? They say on the night of Ashura, Imam, when he spoke, they say, Abbas got a letter from Shimr saying, I'm giving you freedom. Abbas rips it. He says, I step on it. He said, you give me freedom and not the Imam which Allah has chosen? They say when Imam Hussein was giving this speech on the night, he says, all of you leave. Yazid wants me. You go. I will deal with him. Muslim was one of them who stood up and said, if you kill us, if they kill us 1,000 times and we are burnt and brought back to life, we will never leave you. That yaqeen, my brothers and sisters, is what I want. So that I don't fluctuate one day towards shaitan and one day towards Allah. So that I don't go to the club. So that I don't lie. So that I don't cheat. That's why I want to remember Muslim ibn Awsajah. You might think, an old man, what's an old man doing? Says Muslim ibn Awsajah, when he got ready to go for shahada, he goes to Habib ibn Madhar. And he says to Habib, this is my turban. Take it and tie my back. Tie me so that I don't look so arched as an old man, so that the enemy will not think I'm so old. Planning. Simple planning. But my God, the degree of love for good, the degree of love for justice is innumerable, is immeasurable. They say Habib ibn Madahir ties his back. He says, but you won't have a turban. He says, I want my white hair to be a witness on Judgment Day for what those people have done to the Imam when the Prophet said, they're going to kill the Imam. I can't see this. And they say, Muslim ibn Awsajah ascends the horse, bids goodbye to the Imam, and goes forward and fights. And they say to him, you're an old man. The army says to him, you're an old man, go home and sleep. Muslim stands up and gives a beautiful presentation, proof of why they're wrong. He fights and he is struck and they jump on him and they kill him. And he breathes his last. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ لَلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمٌ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ Brothers and sisters, I know my time is up. I'm sorry if I took a little extra time. But I want to read a dua. This dua as an excuse for tonight being the nights of Ashura. I want security. Recently a brother got killed in this community. Unacceptable. People may say this brother did this. I don't care. Unacceptable. We as an ummah must protect each other. If I ever hear a child, these beautiful children, not praying, not going towards Allah,
in my heart, unacceptable. There's one thing to accept if I'm a lost person. It's acceptable if I don't know what I'm doing. It's acceptable if I don't have leaders. It's acceptable if I don't have a Quran. It's acceptable if I don't have Ahlul Bayt. Maybe it's acceptable. Even then it's not. Well, what about what we have? Unacceptable. We've got to make dua. And we've got to proactively act socially within our communities that these young leaders in this community do not have to pick up the phone and call each one of you 50 times to come, including me. No. We all have to have a vision that if we don't participate in our community, we're going to lose our generations. Allah will hold us liable on judgment day. It's unacceptable. If my imam, who could have been very happy with his family and have a good life, and he gave up his whole family on the battlefield of Karbala to save you and me, it is unacceptable. Period. I'm sorry to say it this way, because there's too much rahmah. Let's read this dua and then I will end. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد إلهي بأخص صفاتك وبعزة جلالك وبعظمة أسمائك وبعصمة أنبيائك وبنور أوليائك وبدم شهدائك وبمداد علمائك وبدعاء صلحائك وبمناجاة فقرائك نسألك زيادة في العلم وصحة في الجسم وطولا في العمر في الطاعة في طاعتك وسعة في الرزق وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة بعد الموت ونورا في القبر ونجاة من النار ودخولا في الجنة وآفية من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة بحق محمد وأهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين صلوات الله محمد وأهل محمد